Welcome back. The Guess Who Rain Dance. Just a reminder, coming up in the second half, hours 3 and 4, author Peter Janney, the author of Mary's Mosaic, the CIA Conspiracy to Murder John F. Kennedy, Mary Pinchot Meyer, and Their Vision for World Peace. A British swimmer has embarked on a seemingly impossible feat of strength and endurance, swimming the English Channel. The 22-mile-wide stretch of water dividing the UK and France was first accomplished back in 1875 by Matthew Webb. It took 21 hours and 45 minutes. However, Ben Hooper has his sights on something bigger, a lot bigger. Get this. On November the 13th, he set out from Dakar in Senegal in the hope of becoming the first person ever to swim across the Atlantic Ocean, a distance of over 1,900 miles. Sean Latasor, our webmaster tonight this morning, has posted that story up at the In the News section at coasttocoastam.com. Just a reminder, if you haven't already done so, please give serious consideration to signing up and becoming a Coast Insider. As a Coast Insider, you get to listen to this program 24/7. You can listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or your mobile device. All the audio streams are delivered in high-quality, crystal-clear audio. And additionally, you can download past shows, chat with the hosts and special guests, and email the show host directly, all for about 15 cents a day. And you can sign up at coasttocoastam.com. Why not do it right now? Buried deep within the endless stacks that line the infinite halls of the divine library in the astral plane known as the Akashic Records, there is a scroll for each of us. Our unique scroll contains everything we need to know about our soul's purpose for this lifetime, including the truth of how and why we've created the obstacles and limitations that are holding us back. Climb aboard. The phone lines are now open. Prepare to dive deep into the cosmic field that lies at the root of all reality. More of my conversation with the last of the sleeping prophets, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and your calls as we discuss the Akashic Record when Coast to Coast returns. Welcome back. Douglas James Cottrell stays with us. He demonstrates many abilities studied by noetic sciences, including clairvoyance, telepathy, energy healing, remote viewing, prediction, and prophecy. His latest book is titled Conversations with the Akashic Field, Practical Advice for Those Changing Times from the Last of the Sleeping Prophets. We'll get to the calls in just a moment. Douglas, I've heard interviews with Bob Dylan and Paul McCartney and many great musicians. And they talk about, you know, their some of their greatest songs that almost wrote themselves, and so were they tapping into the Akashic field? Is that where this music comes from?
They certainly were. The whole song came to them. It was, you know, no perspiration, no inspirational, you know, grunting and groaning. It came, and I believe they've tapped into that place where all knowledge is available. And again, they did it, probably if it happens once, you know, that's all it takes to give you evidence that you actually did this, because you have a whole song that came to you and it's absolutely unparalleled. There's no mistakes. It's perfect. And when you do that once and you kind of wonder, how the heck did I do that? Or how do I do that again? And I think that's where some of the Beatles and other people have looked to meditation, and they've sought gurus or teachers to teach them how to get in that, because they've touched upon that place. In the book, we talk, many people have given information like that would be generic to just about everybody. It is exactly the same. It's perfect wisdom. And when they get in there, inventors have done the same. So it's a place that we need to know to find out about ourselves, to prosper and to get this extra information so that we can write better, we can live our lives better, we know what the right thing to do, you know, we get to life's decisions, should I do this or should I do that? We can go to this place that has the answer. And yes, the musicians are quite, because they're, I think musicians are into, you know, they're artists, they're more, their lifestyle is more conducive to being more peaceful and relaxed in this creative searching. They're always searching for information, like a writer or anybody. You're reaching out to the great beyond all the time, so you're accessing or looking to access this information.
So technically, they didn't necessarily write the song. They were merely the conduit.
That's right. It's kind of, when I used to do the commodities when I was in my mid to mid to late 20s, I was getting information on the commodities on gold and silver. I made a lot of money. The information was coming. I would be given what was going to happen to gold or what was going to happen to silver, for that matter, any coffee and cocoa and all those other commodities. And, you know, you kind of got to feel like, you know, am I cheating? You know, am I getting this information that's kind of like, you know.
That's a great question. Well, are you cheating?
Well, this is the answer. If it's come to you, you've earned it. And you earn it by being a good person. And what you've done before, you have learned. And the more you've learned, the more aware you become. And the more aware you become, you become more moral. You don't take advantage of people who are weak.
Well, that's interesting. So
when they're in the wrong, but you don't take advantage. And this is, you learn the moral code. And that's why it's so important to come to this understanding of the Akashic field, because you learn how to be a more correct person. You evolve. And so it's, you know, like you're given information where you can make a lot of money or you get an invention or whatever, but you've already earned the right to do that.
That's interesting. So you cannot access the Akashic records unless you have some morality.
Well, that's not exactly accurate, because we know the Akashic is open to everybody. It's every soul's record. And we know some monsters who have had, you know, dreams about their assassination coming up, and they've fled out of foxholes, or they've done something to avoid death. So, you know, in the eyes of God, we're all equal. We're all loved by God. But there are people who get information and they abuse it, and there are consequences for that. And there are people who get information and they embellish it or help or be of service, and there's also positive consequences to that.
All right, let's go to the wild card line.
Sorry?
Wild card line. Richard is in Northern Ireland. Richard, welcome to Coast AM. How are you?
Fantastic, Richard, and great to speak to you.
Likewise.
And I'm a Coast Insider, Richard, but I have to say, I think I tell you often enough on Twitter, but you have a big listenership over here. And if anybody doesn't have the conspiracy show on their podcast list or doesn't listen to it live, they should do. It's one of the most entertaining and informative shows I know.
Oh, God bless you for saying that, Richard. So did you have a question, a specific question for Douglas with us tonight?
Douglas, I have a problem, and I don't know how to handle it. And I don't know if you can help me with it or not. My wife's American, and she came back. We're married this February the 14th on Valentine's Day, 10 years. But what happened was, purely by accident, she got her visa to come here. And after 2 years, you're supposed to reapply for another visa. We didn't realize that. And we don't know what to do, because we know that the authorities aren't looking for us, but we're just wondering, should we go to the authorities and come clean, or what we should do, because Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom and we don't know how to go about it. And we just thought maybe you would have some psychic insight into this.
Richard, okay. Let me just quick make sure I understand. Your wife is American.
Yeah.
She's now residing with you in Northern Ireland. Her visa has expired, but the fact that you're married, does that not enter into it?
I don't think it does, Richard, unfortunately.
All right. Okay. Well, Douglas, what do you recommend that Richard in Northern Ireland
did? I saw immediately as he was talking that there was a magistrate taking the paper and putting a big stamp on it. So what you should do about it is go to a magistrate or some low-level official, explain the situation. This is your wife, and it looks like you're going to get the stamp of approval. You'll get a temporary visa or some sort of transitional visa. She might have to go back to America and then come back again, but it looks like both of you are smiling. You know, your wife's got a lovely smile, and the both of you are smiling in my face here.
All right, well, Richard, sounds like a positive outcome.
Thank you very much, Douglas. I appreciate that.
Let me know. You know, I like to hear. My website's douglasjamescottrell.com, and you can email me info@douglasjamescottrell.com. I like to know what happened. So please do.
Thank you very much. I will certainly do that. Thank
all right.
You.
All the best, Richard, to you and your wife. Good luck.
Thank you, Richard. Bye.
Bye-bye. Wild card line again. Bill is in West Hartford, Connecticut. Bill, good morning, good evening. Welcome to Coast.
Yes, good morning. Hi, Richard. Yes, hi. I wanted to ask you, what information would I give your guests to get information about me? Because I wanted to conduct this as a scientific experiment, ask your guest what my purpose in life is, and then I wanted to briefly tell him what I think my purpose in life is. So what do I say to begin it?
I think he has all he needs. He has your first name, Bill.
Yeah, Bill, I got your name, and you look like you're putting things together, like small things together. You're building something. It looks like dominoes or blocks in my vision. I don't know what it is. I can't see, but you're meticulously putting things together. So your mission in life is either as a facilitator or solving a problem for building a project.
Okay, now I want to tell you briefly what I say my goal in life is. I'm a rational atheist and an amateur astronomer. I'm interested in astronomy, cosmology, astrophysics. The blocks you see, dominoes, I think you said it, maybe my nervous anxiety, emotional problems, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, of which I did not graduate college, unfortunately, 40 years ago. I'm age 66 now. My goal ever since I was a child was to be a professional astronomer or cosmologist, astrophysicist. It did not happen. So what my goal is now, because I'm an amateur astronomer and I have my own telescope and I read many magazines on astronomy and the space program, etc., is to call up radio talk shows, which I've done since 1978, like this one, Coast to Coast AM, which is the best one of all, and talk about not only atheism, my skepticism of religion, and my love for the scientific method and science, but also astronomy, cosmology, and the space program, which I've talked to Richard himself and George Norrie, of course, and other guests and other shows as well as Coast on these issues. Since I could not be a professional astronomer, I'm doing my best as an amateur with obsessive compulsive disorder to talk about skepticism of religion, atheism, and science and astronomy and the space program specifically.
Well, that fits into what I was looking at. You're building something, like I saw your hands moving very quickly, putting blocks together, and you're building something. You're building a case or you're building your career. You know, when tobacco is not a good thing for you to be around people who have tobacco, it infuriates your mind. You are meticulous, and, you know, believe me, you don't need to repeat yourself. People understand you very well the first time.
That's my OCD.
I know, but that's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm trying to coach you a little bit and say, believe me, people listen to you because you can be very articulate and very direct. So you're going to build this up. Now, what your spiritual beliefs are doesn't matter. It's how you behave to other people.
Non-belief.
How we treat other people. So you're going to do well in this. But try to say, instead of over and over again, try to catch yourself and say, okay, they got it. Because, you know, they are smart. You're really smart. Your mind works at warp speed. That's the problem. You're going so fast. It's like riding a bicycle down a street so fast that you can't stop and you can't make turns because you're going too fast. So if you tell yourself, I don't need to repeat it, they got it, it'll slow you down a teeny tiny bit. And every time you slow down a little bit more, a little bit more, and that will help your mind come to that, you know, concise, controlled perspective that you're looking for. You're a smart
Bill, thanks so much for checking in, Bill. Appreciate the call. Okay. The wild card line again. Adam is in San Diego. Adam, good morning, good evening.
Hi, I just would like to know my life's purpose, and maybe you could tell me some stuff about my record.
Well, Adam, I see lots of water and ships around you. I'm not sure if this is a past life I'm coming up with. You got anything to do with the Navy now, or were you near any ships or anything like that?
No, I mean, I'm in San Diego near the bay, but...
Okay, well, I see ships in the background. And so you asked me about your background. I think you're a pirate from the old days, okay? Probably one of those good guy pirates, you know, like working for Drake and the Queen. I'm also, maybe you were a Spanish galleon kind of thing, so the ships look big and now they're overbearing or overburdened. Your mission in this life is to gain information. You're like reading books, or you're looking at blades of grass, you're looking at trees, you're looking at a lot of things. The visions are coming very fast. So your purpose in lifetime is to accumulate an understanding of nature and how to work within it. But you also have this high rolling you know, pirate background there, a little exciting life too. So you have a pacifist and you have a history of perhaps being a little bit of a an exciting life on the seas. Does that make sense?
I guess it's kind of exciting. I don't know anything about, I mean, I like the ocean.
Are you bookish, Adam? Are you someone who enjoys learning and gaining knowledge?
Yeah, and I always listen to the radio all the time too.
Okay. Well, there you go. From one lifetime, we're seeing a life at the sea that he was obviously having good times, as I said, exciting. And now he's a land lover, and he's looking at the and gaining knowledge on things. So there you go. One extreme to another. That's how past lives or lives work. Kind of go one extreme and then back to another. So the question was open, and I got a couple of fragments from your tree of life or book of life, I should say, from the Akashic.
All right, so back on the shelf, Adam's book goes, and let me ask you, you mentioned inventors earlier. Did Tesla credit the Akashic Record for his inventions? I mean, I've talked to a lot of inventors, and they always, almost to a man or woman, they talk about how inventions first are invented in the dream world. So, but what about Tesla specifically?
I'm sure he was, again, the same as Edison and other people who don't sleep much at night. They are consciously, they're more along the way of the avatar, meaning that they're getting to that spiritual quality where they don't need a lot of sleep, but their mind is, you know, betwixt and between. So yes, he was, from the little bit I know about the man and the huge knowledge he had with electricity the ability to put electricity through the air. Electricity is one of the three elements, like electricity, magnetism, and gravity are all the same force, in my opinion. I'm an inventor, and most of my inventions, I have about 28 of them. I actually got patents on one, and then realized I couldn't afford the rest. And it was pretty much it's a crapshoot back then in the 70s and 80s to get something produced, unless you're connected, pardon me for complaining. But the idea is that when you're out there, you reach out and you're reaching into the future and you're seeing something. I asked Ross Peterson about my inventive skills, and he said what I had to learn was that everything had its time and its place. And for an inventive mind, what I tried to produce now that had a future time wouldn't work. And that's why a lot of my ideas didn't happen for me back in the 70s, but they came true to the 80s and 90s. Tesla, I think, was a genius, but he was tapped in. He was hooked into the Akashic, no doubt about it.
All right. So does that mean that he's accessing the knowledge of an inventor that was going to invent that device in the future anyway? Or what is an inventor tapping into when they're getting this information from the Akashic field about a device or an invention?
Well, as I just said, Ross Peterson told me everything has its time and its place. And I have a theory, and that is when one invention comes into the world, it's earth-changing or world-changing. More than one person, has this invention come to them. And you'll see, you know, Alexander Graham Bell invented the phone, and there was somebody in New York who did the same thing.
Same with the radio, Marconi and Fessenden. There's a great deal of truth to that. Douglas Stapewood, we'll take a timeout, come back, discuss further, more calls on the Akashic Field. Here are the Rolling Stones taking us into the break from one of the better tracks from A Bigger Bang, which came out in 2005, Laugh, I Nearly Died, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And this is the late Marva Whitney, Giving Up on Love. This is kind of a difficult song to find. You might be able to find a single kicking around gathering dust somewhere, but I found it on YouTube, and the late Marva Whitney, worth the journey, worth the search. She was known as Soul Sister Number One. We lost her about 4 years ago, this very month. His doctors can't explain it, but a Manhattan man who went blind in 1997 has now regained most of his sight. Kevin Coughlin of Murray Hill, New York, that's in Manhattan, was blinded by optic nerve disease at age 36. He says he literally saw a very thick, impenetrable fog. Coughlin, who is now 55, was in an interview with 1010 Winds. He remained blind until he started seeing shadows about 3 years ago. And then in August of 2013, he saw a reflection of light on his medicine cabinet mirror after not seeing anything for 16 years. Last May, was the first time Coughlin saw the face of his then guide dog, a black lab named Elias. Remarkable. You can read more in the news section at coasttocoastam.com. Back with more of your calls, questions, and comments for Dr. Douglas James Cottrell as we dive deep into the Akashic field right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett coming to you from Coast's Toronto affiliate, Talk Radio AM 640. Douglas James Cottrell is with us. Conversation with the Akashic Field, the book, and we've linked up to Douglas's website at coasttocoastam.com. There's a special gift for Coast listeners tonight, 25% off the price of the book. Now, when we're talking about mediums, people who claim that they can communicate with the spirits of the dearly departed, are they, I mean, if we have this Akashic Field, is it not possible that what mediums are actually doing, rather than communicating with the dead, they're actually just pulling that person's file from the Akashic Library?
Well, if they're finding out, my opinion is, if you're finding out information about them, something about what they did in their life or whatever, that would be like a report. But you can actually communicate with them. And you can, in my way, I call it, you know, like angel messages kind of thing when I'm asked. I'm actually watching in pantomime these ghost people, because we're all going to be a ghost person one day. We're going to pass on, and our spirit will be free from the body. So it's not to be afraid of you know, mom and dad who are in spirit or anybody else. So you can see them, and they act out in pantomime. One, I did something at the Mini Mansion Center for some people, and this fellow, his name was Sherwood, was asking about his son. And that's all he said, how's my son doing? And I said, well, I have a scene here. It's a meadow. I see a cabin in the back or a cottage, and he's sawing a log like in a sawhorse. And he's sawing, he's looking at me, and he's sawing and sawing. And I said, what does that mean? And Sherwood said, ask him, when can I get my saw back? And we all laughed. Unbeknownst to me, or anybody else in the room except Sherwood, his son, before he passed away, and I didn't know that his son had even passed away, had taken his handsaw up to the cottage and left it there, and apparently passed away at the cottage. And so Sherwood knew that the saw was there, knew that the son had it, and he wanted me to ask his deceased son when he can get it back.
All right. Okay, so, let's go to the international line. Angela is in Montreal, Canada. Angela, good morning.
Morning. I've been trying to think of how to ask my question, but really, I haven't found anything to do in life as far as work is concerned. And I believe my life purpose that I've found so far is just being a mother, but I'd like to start working, and I'm planning on moving, changing countries also. So I don't know if you see anything with that.
Okay, what's your first name again?
It's Angela.
Okay, Angela. You have to pick out what you want to do. Life for yourself is, you have a life, it's kind of like things happen to you, positive things. But if you decide you're going to do something, and then don't let anybody dissuade you, don't take anybody's advice not to do it, or it's too hard, or you can't do that. If you decide, and then you are tenacious about it, you can achieve just about anything. But your life at this point is kind of an easy life, that whatever happens is going to be, you know, thick or thin, it's going to work out for you. It's kind of a relaxing life. And that comes back from the time at the Crusades. I can see crosses in the background, or in the Middle East, so you've earned some good times from that experience back then. But this life is kind of like, what do I do? You know, because you can do many things somewhat easy to you. Humans tend to do the hardest thing. You know, we the easy things that come to, we kind of dismiss. I'm suggesting to you to take an easy thing, but be tenacious. Don't tell too many people that you're going to do this, and then go for it, and it will happen.
Yeah, you're saying that I should take it easy, or?
No, I think you can live an easy life now. Whatever, if you just kind of float along, you'll never be satisfied, but you won't be in jeopardy. I'm suggesting that you pick something, and then, you know, like a straight as an arrow, you go after it, and don't let people tell you can't do it. Does that make sense?
Well, Yeah, that's kind of the space that I'm in, but that's why I'm really thinking of moving back to the States. So I don't know if you see how that would work out. Or
you're going to move out of the States, did you say?
No, I'm in Canada, but I want to move back to the States.
Okay. Well, again, if that's what you're going to do, then do it. Don't let anybody dissuade you. I think wherever you're going to go, you're going to be okay. You have like a, not a charmed life, but you have an easy life. So everything's going to work out for you. Always has and still will. Thick or thin, it's going to work out for you. But if you decide to do something and you don't stop and don't let anybody dissuade you, you'll achieve more success.
All right, Angela, good luck with that. Good luck with the move and your future endeavors. West of the Rockies, Lorraine is in Gilbert, Arizona. Good evening. Good morning, Lorraine.
Hi. Hi, Richard. I just really enjoy listening when you're hosting the program. I just really enjoy you a lot.
Thank you for that.
I'd like to ask your guest, is it Dr. Cottrell?
Yes, it is.
I just recently lost my dog to an illness. I had to have him, I had to let him pass peacefully at the veterinarian about a month and a half ago. And I'm just terribly depressed. And
Don't feel bad. The dog's sitting here smiling. He's got his tongue out like he's panting. I'm so happy. Don't feel bad at all. He's happy.
Okay.
He's out of pain.
Okay. Yeah, I feel especially bonded to this dog. I've had lots of animals, and everybody says, "Oh, just go get another dog." And I'm not ruling that out. I'm sure he wants me to be happy, but I just want to make sure he's with me. And you've confirmed that, then, right?
He's right up close, and he's got his tongue out like he's panting.
Used to have his tongue.
Okay.
He really did. Yeah.
There you go. That's his message back to you to know that I'm actually looking at him. Because, I mean, of all the things I could have said, I said that one thing that is meaningful to you. The dog's happy.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Mm-hmm. And he's probably going to reincarnate and come back and see you in a while anyway.
Oh,
all right.
Wonderful.
Lorraine, now, I don't know that I'm tapping into the Akashic field, but what I'm seeing is that you gave your dog a wonderful life. He won the lottery when he got you as an owner, so he died a very happy dog.
Thank you so much for saying that. I've had people tell me that I've really dedicated my life to animals, he was like my only family. He really was my only family. So thank you for saying that, Richard. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
There you go, Richard. You were tapping in. Very good. Excellent.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, just some
really
homespun wisdom from north of the border. All right. Lorraine, all the best.
It's like when I go to Spain and I see my friends in Spain. I love Spain. I must have had a lot of time back there, and I miss my friends in Spain. So it's like, yeah, okay, give me a little nudge, Richard. Say, go to Spain, Douglas.
Off you go now, on your bike.
Yeah.
You know what it is with dogs, I think, and I haven't had a lot of animals in my life. We have a rabbit right now, a dwarf bunny. they don't give a lot. But with dogs, it seems to me that they come into somebody's life, they transform that person, and then they leave. It's the dog that sort of had a mission to change that person or to transform that person, and then they go, they move on. Seem to think that we own the dog, but the dog was here to do something for us, and it's kind of a, I don't know, just kind of
a
job for the dog.
A dog is a love giver, and they're very loyal. People who have dogs know that dogs will take a lot of abuse and still remain loyal. So having a good, loyal dog and then being able to give some love to this dog like this lady did, that's a privilege. And it also teaches us that everything's temporal in the world. You know, this is why we have these experiences. And this is what we're gaining as we increase in our spirituality, that everything is in the moment. Everything comes into your life and it leaves your life. And so enjoy.
All right, well, here's
the maximum.
Here's Ray from Springfield on the first time caller line coming into our life. Ray, good morning, good evening.
Yes, good evening. Thank you for taking my call here, Richard and Douglas. Just like the other callers, you know, looking for their purpose here. I've been asking myself the same thing. And Douglas, I have a little couple of things in common with your past as working with commodities. And working with commodities have brought me closer to other people in the field, working with humanitarians also, for their purpose was to possibly bring out some new technologies in water or energy or agricultural purposes to fund them and get them out to the public. You know, they're in research and development at this point, but to get them funded. And I find myself asking the question, why am I here? My purpose. Because also I have, you know, a heart that wants to work with, you know, things like that, humanitarian purposes. You know, I'm an animal lover, just like the past caller mentioned about her dog passing away. I had a beautiful dog years ago, Max, and a cat recently, Prince, and I don't know how.
So you're an entrepreneur, and you're trying to figure out what it is you're supposed to be doing. Do I have that right, Ray?
That's true, yes.
Okay, Douglas, what do you have for Ray?
Well, as I said a minute ago, it's to meet extremes, to balance the two extremes in life. And this is sometimes a real hard thing to do in life, but it allows you to move spiritually forward a lot faster. So by seeing the dark and the light, by seeing the extremes in life, you're really searching within yourself to find out what is the truth, what's right. And so it's very difficult for you. And you see things going on and you kind of say, well, what do I do? Well, you're a facilitator. You bring people together. And your opinions, although sometimes maybe not understood, maybe misunderstood, you're usually right because you're able to see the two ways. You've been a judge in France or England a long time ago. And so you're in this life now to see this time of extremes that's going on.
Ray, do you see yourself as misunderstood?
Well, what he says more than himself.
Ray, do you see yourself as misunderstood?
At times, yes.
Yeah. Right. So don't worry what people think of you. Just keep on telling them because you have an insight to things that other people don't. And when you see this ability to see left and right, up and down, you see the whole picture. People sometimes don't understand the same because they don't have the same vision or ability. But you have an extra special ability. You're here to meet the extremes that's going on in life. And as long as you keep calm and say, okay, this too will pass, or okay, I'll enjoy this to the maximum, you'll kind of get through this life. It's a very important life for you.
All right, from God's Book of Remembrance to your ears, Ray, thank you for that. Peter is on the wild card line, checking in from Asheville, North Carolina. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, how are you?
Very well. Welcome to Coast.
Douglas, I'm an astrologer, and 2 weeks before the election, I called into Coast to Coast and talked to George, and I predicted that Trump would win the election and Hillary would lose, and of course, I was correct about that. And then 2 days after the election, I called back, and George kind of gave me my props, and so that's all archived in the Akashic Records, I guess. And if people want to check, you can just Google me, Peter from Asheville. Anyway, I want to ask you a question. But I want to set it up with a comment. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. We're listening, Peter.
Okay,
go ahead.
So it was very clear looking at the charts that Trump was going to win the election. I mean, it was written in the stars, so to speak. And it was very clear that Hillary would not. Hers is kind of an accursed chart. So I don't really think it's Comey or anything like that. And I don't think anything will come with a recount. I mean, it's very clear that's there. Now, your prediction was that she would be in the White House, not really that she'd win the popular vote. So that wasn't really right. But here's what's interesting to me. There's some bad transits coming up after Christmas. And I'm worried about Mr. Trump making it to the inauguration. So what do you see, like, for the United States, let's say at the beginning of the year, and particularly the stock market, if you could throw that in?
Okay, well, a couple of years ago, remember that prediction I made about Hillary was made in 2005. And she was in the White House as a Secretary of State, and that may have been as far as it gone, but I'm still keeping the door open to see what happens in January. The stock market and the U.S. dollar are in jeopardy. You're right about these major catastrophes that are coming up. I've said before that there's presidential assassination could occur, and it has not occurred yet. And so sometimes when you see things, it's like some of my visions have been 10 and 20 years in advance. And so that could be a situation that you're picking up on these major problems. But the U.S. dollar is in trouble.
there's the same as if you want to see what's going to happen to the U.S., go back and look and see what happened to the U.K. and the BRICS movement. It's exactly...
You mean the Brexit movement?
Yes, sorry. It's almost two. It's almost 3 o'clock here, so I'm my tongue's getting wrapped around my teeth. Wrong research. Anyway, look at what happened in Britain, and you'll see that it's a forecast of what's going to happen in the U.S.
All right. Let's see. I think we can squeeze in one more if we move quickly on the wild card line. Carol is in Roxborough, North Carolina. Carol, good morning. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Dr. Cantrell and Richard. I was wondering if you could suggest how I might enhance my communication with my son. He knows that I'm interested in issues of what is consciousness and mystical concepts and God is the original source. And he decided about 5 years ago that God is just something that man makes up inside of his head. And so it's very hard to carry on a regular conversation with him on these type of topics. Is this part of my final purpose, and do you have any suggestions?
Well, children learn by example, and I find that if you try to repeat or tell children things, they resent it. They're very stubborn. And so by example, your son is being... I see him outside. There's people, peers, they're making fun of him. And not that he's being bullied, but there's people making fun of him. And so on spiritual topics, remember, children come into their own. It would be to report that you had a dream or something like that that happened. But basically, just be a good person and say, it's better to do good than it is to do harm. Don't try to convince him. Just try to show him is my advice. You've been his mommy in Palestine, where he's had to listen to you, and you even used to beat him up or hit him with a cane or something, way back when. So now it's kind of just by example, and wait till he comes and asks you a question, rather than tell him. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Carol. Thank you for that. Sometimes too, when you think you lost your children, but that work you do early in those formative years everyone talks about, and you plant those seeds. Sometimes they don't germinate until we've sort of given up on them, and then all of a sudden we see this remarkable transformation. So,
yeah, the saying goes,
never ever give up on your kids.
Never, no, because they have different. You never know what goes on outside the house, and they have different. Things pull them this way or that way. But the saying goes that, when I was a teenager, I thought the old man was really stupid. And when I was 25, he seemed to get a little smarter. And by the time I was 45, he seemed to be a genius.
That's right. The older we get, the smarter our parents get. Funny how that works. Conversations with the Akashic Field. Douglas, congratulations on the book. And again, people can go to the website. We've hooked up to that at coasttocoastam.com. Thank you so much, my friend.
His field, get 25% off. I'm looking for a PR person who might want to help me with my books, and it's always a pleasure. So anybody out there who wants to be a PR person, give me a call to www.douglasjamescottrell.com. Always a
All
pleasure,
right.
Richard.
Thank you, my friend. Here's another giant we lost in 2016, and it was a real shame. Leon Russell, A Song for You, taking us into the break. We'll talk the assassination of Mary Pinchot Meyer, the mistress of JFK, on the other side when Coast to Coast AM continues. Stay with us.